the day the season died. So bye bye to the playoffs, goodbye. Let in 6 goals to the Capitals, didn't even try. The good old Isles can't score for their lives, saying this'll be the day that I die.
Oh, boy.
I did not expect that to go as well as it did.
All right, I'm going. What's going on? You're listening to the Long Island Sound Podcast, your source for everything Isles and the only Islanders podcast faster than Connor McDavid, and brought to you by Ben Cohen's Glee Club. I'm one of your hosts, Damon Vetteri, and I'm joined this week by Ben Cohen.
Yeah, I mean, if my voice will feel a little bit better.
And Kenny Ivero.
Hey guys, how's it going?
It's good, man. Now, before we get into it, because it's been a little bit, it's been the All-Star break, you know, and it's been Doomsday. I want to start by letting the audience know what kind of podcast this is going to be. It's going to be like that, because
yeah, I got my drink ready.
This team, as you can tell by the cold open, we all said that when the Islanders lost to the Capitals, taking a 4-1 lead going into the third period at home, and they let the Caps score 5 goals and embarrass them on home ice, that that was the day the season died and was the inspiration for Ben's wonderful lyrics. So Ben, kudos, man. I'm cheersing you right now through the mic.
Nice job. Thanks. I gotta like clarify a little bit, because first of all, the context behind this was you texting the day the season died. And that just got that song stuck in my head, like, the day the music died, obviously. And I don't know, I spent, like, half an hour procrastinating doing homework thinking of these lyrics. And, like, apparently they're decent, I don't know. But I want to clarify, because I don't know if I agree so much about the season being over, but I guess that's for the rest of the podcast, and maybe that's just me being an optimist.
It's certainly hyperbole, but I'm very dramatic. So the first thing I thought of when I watched that all unfold in front of me was, that's it. They're done. They're toast. It wasn't just that game. It's been a number of things leading up to it.
Yeah.
Which I think, unless you've got some opening statements, Ken, unless we can get right into this bad boy.
I mean, I guess we're going to go back a ways, since, you know, the last time we did a podcast was after the Devils overtime win. It's all the things that we wanted to happen with that Taylor Hall trade or the Panarin signing. It's like really seemed to have reared its ugly head, so to speak. Just can't score goals, inconsistent goaltending. I mean, I feel like Varley was hot and then he wasn't. So we kind of got off track, rotating the goalies, and now you trot like Varlamov out there, and it felt like when we had Halak in net, where it was like, okay, I guess we're just playing this guy because Grice has been off. I don't know. Is it bad goaltending? Is it lack of scoring? I think it's a combination of both, like during this stretch at least.
Well, in my opinion, something broke with this team. And I'm gonna throw out a date. Don't cheat. Don't look at your phones. December 17th. Does that ring a bell? Does that conjure up any memories, any trauma for you guys?
It doesn't, but from your speech, I'm guessing that that's when Pellick got injured.
It's actually not. Yeah. It's not. It's not.
Wait, hold on. Is it when Pellick. Grice took himself out, right? Because he had head problems.
You know, I don't think so, but it might be. You guys are going deeper than I was going.
I want to get this. Don't.
No, it's not. It's okay, but you're on. You're cold. Cold.
Oh, okay. So
it's simple. All right. See, this doesn't make for good radio. The Nashville Predators.
Oh.
Beat the Islanders at home 8-3. They put up 8 goals on the Isles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that kind of sucked, didn't it?
From that point on, mid-December, it's not been good for this team. So I want to just very quickly run through from that point forward. And you guys, I'm glad you touched on those things, because the things that you mentioned, I think, have all been parts of why. There's no one reason, which is ironic because we're each going to give one reason why we think this has happened. But it's not one reason. It's a number of things. We know that. But they lose to Nashville 8-3. They bounce back. They beat Boston 3-2. Then they lose to Anaheim. Then they lose to CBJ. Then they lose to Chicago. And that was really when the slide started. Three bad teams, and they weren't really in any of those games. The 3-2 Columbus game you can make an argument for, but anyway. They bounce back after that. They beat Minnesota and Washington, but then they lose to the Devils. The Maple Leafs shut them out. They beat Colorado, beat Jersey, lose to Boston, lose to the Rangers, blow the doors off Detroit, lose to the Rangers again. The season dies against the Capitals, lose to Carolina in a shootout, and then finally, last game before the All-Star break, they beat the Rangers. It's been just, like, I would say mediocre, but it's been worse than mediocre. What's, like, one small level below mediocre?
Well, Damon, that's the thing, is that the Islanders have been mediocre, and what you would say is that, you know, the Islanders of last year, probably starting around this time last year, and in the beginning of this year, was a team that found ways to win even if they didn't so much deserve to. And now you're looking at a team that finds ways to lose even if they don't so much deserve to. You look at the shootout loss at home to Boston, like, Islanders played really well in that game, lost in a shootout. Carolina a couple days ago played really well in that game, lost in a shootout. The Predators 8-3, they weren't that bad in until the third period. But they found a way to lose. It doesn't, ultimately, I mean, Trotz says it all the time. It's about, you know, who wins the game and who loses the game. And that's what makes you think that something has changed. It's not that they're losing games because we're in a better place than we were last year. It's that instead of finding ways to win, we're finding ways to lose, which makes you think you've lost some identity. And that's what made this team special.
Yeah, I'm with you. And it's not even, it's even worse than that, I think, because some of these losses have just been, like, heartbreaking. Like, the stupid play by Brassard against the Rangers where he takes the cross-checking penalty and they lose with 25 seconds.
I was there.
Or, dude, was the worst. Right. Yeah, you were there, so I know I'm picking at that
still. Oh, my God.
Then, you know, the Capitals' disgrace. And then, you know, you go into a shootout against Carolina, and two of your players can't even shoot the puck on net. Like, it's just the most bizarre stuff lately that's so non... It's like Islanders... It's like Doug Waite, Jack Capuano Islanders. It's not Lou Lamoriello, Barry Trotz Islanders, and that's what scares me, is, like, it's like trigger warnings again. Because, like, this is the stuff that would happen to that team, not this Islander team. But yet, here we are.
I mean, maybe it's as simple as, like, let's just look at the human aspect of it. Like, maybe these guys are just, like, looking forward to the All-Star break and having, like, a bunch of time off. I mean, this is kind of crazy. Has it always been like this? Because I don't pay attention to the All-Star game, but has it always been this big of a break? Like, we're not playing hockey for, like, 10 days. Like, what is this?
There was the, because it's the All-Star break, but then it's the bye week. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe 2 years ago was
we never had this bye week.
Week of the bye week. I think
right, the bye week is a new thing.
And you know these guys have, like, big plans, families, like, you know, maybe it just was like they've been grinding all season, the break. I don't want to, like, hit the panic button. I did see a stat, though. I don't know if it was on, I don't know where I saw it, but it was something like, I don't know if it was right after the last game before the All-Star break, but it was like maybe two games before the last game, I saw a stat where the Islanders had more points than they did at this point last year. So, like, everyone's panicking, but, like, we still are kind of on track to have a 100-plus point season. So, I don't – like, I'm kind of with Ben. You know, it's been bad for sure, but I'm kind of with Ben where I don't want to panic just yet. Because, dude, our Metro division is so good.
You know, just take a slap shot. I mean, you know it's a hockey podcast. You take a snapshot.
Take a jump shot. Punch,
right? Yeah, you take a jump. Ooh.
A foul shot.
You know, yeah, you know what? We'd be remiss if we didn't say we're recording, like, a day after the tragic death of Kobe Bryant, which,
well,
like,
that's not where I was going with that.
Well, that's where my mind went. So God, I mean, that's just awful, you know. Wrestling.
Dude, I can't believe that, man.
Ugh.
Unreal.
So, yeah, we definitely, we need to definitely mention that.
But, yeah, David, I was thinking about it the last couple of days, and even in my English class, we had, like, an assignment, like a free write, and the prompt was just the number 24, and I was thinking about it. I mean, I was never a basketball fan, but this is a guy, like, he transcended sports. I mean, I'm that generation that yelled Kobe when they threw anything into the trash can. And it has a bigger effect than you think. Like, I didn't think that it would affect me as much as it did, even just as a sports fan and as even just as someone in my generation that grew up like that, as I said.
Yeah, it kind of felt like I was getting feelings like I got when the Broncos bus crashed. A few years ago with the junior team, the Humboldt Broncos.
Yeah.
Like, it was like the same thing. It was like surreal. I was like, wait, what? Like, now obviously Kobe, it's like a different story. It's like one guy who is like mega famous versus a team of junior hockey players. But like, I still kind of had the same feeling. So it's just, yeah, it really, really tragic.
It's a terrible way to go too. Like,
I mean, it's awful. But, anyway, so bringing it back to hockey. So when you look at where the Islanders are right now in the standings, it's a snapshot. What I'm looking at is this time last year, they were trending up. They exceeded expectations. Everybody thought this team was going to be a bottom five team, and they were, like, turning a lot of heads. And they used that, and it really galvanized the team. You had a lot of X factors. You had Tavares leaving. You had, you know, a new coach coming in, ownership take. Like, it was like a lot of different things, and it was trending up. This year, they started on, you know, at the top. You know, I mean, you rip off, you know, a 17-game point streak and all that. I mean, you're at the top, and it's just kind of been a slow decline since. So perception is a big reason why so many people feel the way they feel, and I'm one of them. My fears when we started this podcast and we were talking about certain things are definitely, you know, rearing their ugly head now. And I think now would probably be a good time to get into, I think, the reason why we think the Isles are where they are. So in an attempt to boil it down in simple terms, I think if we can each give one reason why we think they're at where they're at, you know, and then, of course, we're going to bring other things into it. But, like, if there's any one reason, what could it be? You know,
Kevin, I was thinking about it, and this is very off the cuff because I had other things. But I was just thinking about it. What if it's expectations? The Islanders had absolutely no expectations this year or last year. And this year, I mean, you could still have taken that approach as a lot of people had them missing the playoffs. But there was also like okay, they swept the Penguins last year and then got swept. What are they going to do this year? And you look at the Islanders and they were on national television twice so far this year. I think. As on NBCSN at least, or NBC, and they beat the Bruins in Boston, which was huge. And the other game they lost to the Devils 2-1 at, I believe, the Coliseum. And they started out well. They got some news coverage as, you know, the on NHL Network, the best team of the week, the second best team of the week for like 2-3 weeks in a row with the 17-game point streak. And people are starting to think about the Islanders, you know, being really good. And now they're kind of not. So I don't even know if I agree. I thought of that, and so I wanted to sort of bring that up and see, sort of get your guys, you know, raw thoughts on it.
I mean, for me, it's like maybe that loss was a real big factor in what's been going on, but do you guys, like, since we've been watching the beginning of the season, do you think that our goaltending really has anything to do with us winning games and losing games? Or is it just, it's not really a factor? Like, do you even believe in hot goaltending? Because, I mean, we kind of had, like, Grice has been on fire, then when he's not on fire, he's bad. You know what I mean? And we kind of, I feel like we learned that lesson with Varlamov. Varlamov was super hot, and then we kind of trotted him out there his last win. He's only had one win in his last, like, seven starts. So,
well,
do you think it's bad goaltending? Like,
well, first of all, I love what Ben said. I think that's a great, that is like, Ah, you're such a school kid right now. You're thinking outside of the box. You got creative writing assignments. You're like, oh, one reason why the Islanders are bad. Well, maybe they're not. Maybe it's us, and we have to internalize expectations. That's actually really good, Ben. I like that. And I think you're on to something. I definitely think you're on to something. I also think that this is a very mediocre hockey team. I think their goaltending is not as good as it was last year. And I don't know if your number one reason was goaltending or not.
No, I'm not saying it's not, because, like, I was going to say before we even got into it, like, I don't think there's really one reason. Because I think, which I think you're going to get to, like, Pellick going down is not a coincidence, because look what's gone on since then. I mean, Dobson has been good. I feel like out of all this negative, Dobson has looked like now I'm starting to believe, okay, this kid could be something, because he looks really, really good until he doesn't. And then that one play where it doesn't, it like leads to a goal. Like that's kind of what I've been seeing. Like he looks like he could just be better. He looks almost like a Pellick already out there. But then when he does make a mistake, it goes in the net.
Oh, he's running the power play too, the second.
Yeah, like he looks way more confident out there, but at the same time, he's not Pellick defensively. He's just not. So,
well, he's a rookie. I mean,
I know. I'm saying it's a good thing, but also at the same time, it is perfect though.
This is perfect, because this is my answer. You ready? The general manager.
Oof.
And it's all going to come back to the. All
right, I have something to say. Go first. Yeah.
So, we've talked too many times about the third line being non-existent. Whose fault is that? Is it Barry's fault? No. Is it personnel's fault? Partly, but not really. Whose fault is it? Whose fault is it that we don't have a third line? Lou Lamoriello's fault.
Yeah.
Who's the reason why Derek Brassard is here, who failed as a third line center and has played hot for a small portion and has really been pretty much a dumpster fire, which every other team knew he was, which is why they moved away from him. Whose fault is that?
Yeah.
The general managers. Whose fault is it that we have mediocre goaltending and not Vezina caliber goaltending? Is it the GM's fault? I think it is, because he let Robin Leonard walk. Whose fault is it that we did not get a big piece that we needed at the trade deadline last year, or over the summer, or at the draft, or at the start of this year? Or now at the All-Star break?
It's a good point.
That's all
but,
I have to say about that. And that's I'm all thinking, I'm going to say about that.
I'm thinking, what? Barry Trotz is here for 5 years, right? Like, that was his contract, correct? And is Lamoriello's the same?
I think Lou was
Well, let's
I
just,
don't know.
Let's
it
just pretend it's five,
like,
right?
Let's just pretend
it's also five. Let's just assume.
I don't think it is. I want to say if it's a number, it's three, but I have a feeling it's just like you're here until you don't want to be here anymore.
Yeah. All right. So now, like, this is the most important offseason, like, the Islanders have right now, because if you put it on a timeline of 5 years, this is when you have to re-sign three of your best players. How much are they going to get? Are we going to do a bridge deal with Barzal? Are we going to do a long-term and give him $11 million right off the bat? Or are we going to buy ourselves 3 years where we're going to give him $7 million for three or two, you know, which we've seen. So I feel like we've kind of discounted that. But when you have to potentially tie up $15 to $20 million in three players, I don't think you can go and make a trade with a team that we kind of already agree isn't good enough and go out and get a Hall or Panarin as a rental, and potentially, even if you keep him, you're going to have to pay him $11 million. Now you're going to lose Taves because of that?
You have to make a decision at some point.
But also at the same time, there's 31 other teams too. Like, there's 31 other teams that are also all trying to do the same thing. It's as simple as the other team looking at our prospect pool and going, we're not interested. And then, because it's 31 other teams that they have, you know, like, so that also it's Long Island. So it's, it's a lot of things going against us. I don't think it's, I don't think Lou's looking at it and going, nah, I'm not trying. Like, I don't think he's not trying. And if, like, all you can hope is that the guy is.
But can't we hire Lou to be a guy that tries? We hired Lou to be a general manager to bring us to the top.
Right. True, but that's not going to happen through free agency. Like, teams don't let go of guys if they can keep them, you know?
Okay, fine. Fair. Where's the trade? Where's anything?
I think there's a time to do it, and I think that if you're going to have Barry Trotz here, wouldn't you guys want to wait until, like, all right, listen, I'm done. Let me finish. One second. I'm done giving him a pass if by this time next year nothing's been done, because then there's no excuse. But I can see why they haven't done it. We're not winning the cup anyway, dude. We're not winning the cup this year. It doesn't matter. Like, we're just not. I'm sorry. We don't even have a third line center. So even getting a guy like Panarin, it's not going to work in the playoffs. It's all cute now in the regular season. Panarin's not getting 5 points a game in the playoffs, dude. It doesn't work like that. Like, it's just not going to happen. So.
Okay. So let's boil it. Let's rewind it then. Can you imagine this team with, and I know sometimes I crap on him and I kind of like him, but he can get a little frustrating at times on Twitter, but Brian Compton was beating the Brian Boyle drum in the offseason. The entire summer, he was saying, I should get Brian Boyle. He's a third line center.
No, what you
instead
do
we
is...
Went, instead, we went Derek Brassard.
Yeah, you could have... I think that's a better move, because then you could have... Which, another thing I wanted to bring up was moving Cizikas permanently to the third line. There's no more. Like, you got to break up this fourth line. It's, like, honestly, let's just get it up. Like, no more. Don't put them together anymore. It's done. It doesn't
Welcome
matter.
To the dark side, Kenny.
Like, I'm saying you have to. Like,
I agree. Casey outgrew his wings.
When we had Clutterbuck podcast, I told him 2 weeks he'd be injured, and he's injured already. So it's over.
Like, I thought of that as soon as you said that. I'm sorry, Ben. Go.
Can I play mediator a little bit? Because I feel like half of me says, okay, well, Martin Cizikas and Komarov have actually been decent. Last 2 weeks, I thought they've done their job solidly, and I'm not just saying that because regardless of how well they played, Butch would say they were doing their job and, you know, getting it on the forecheck, of course. But I agree with you that Cizikas has a higher ceiling, but I don't want to say that's done. Like, I agree, give Cizikas a couple games to play with better offensive players, but, like, if that doesn't work, go back, because that line's working. I don't think that's the
issue.
It's
gonna work though. Like, it always, like, Cizikas is just good. He's better than
two guys with stone
minutes.
Hands. Like,
he's to play 4 minutes.
What is?
He had 19 goals, like, or something stupid, right? Was it 19?
No, 20.
He had 20. Okay, dude, stop. This guy is like, he's probably the most underrated third line center that isn't a third line center in the league already. Like, that's how good he is. If you just put him with, maybe he'll wake Brassard up. But put him with Beauvillier, and, like, I don't know.
Top six, though. That's the thing. That's why you need another top six guy, because you don't have the resources to play Beauvillier in the third line right now.
Yeah, well, I don't think Beauvillier is a third liner. I just think that he would get better matchups playing on a third line and probably score more. I think he's a first or second line player. Like, if he can
what
just
I'm
be.
Saying is, if he's on the third line, who's on the second line? Dal Cole?
Bailey? Oh, don't even get me started, guys. You get no
you
more
Dal
Cole.
I love that you're just proving my point here. Well, you realize now.
But hang on, whenever there's
one or two injuries, if your team is that shallow, where one or two injuries submarines the whole damn thing, you have problems. And you have to decide, yes, we know, trading is hard in hockey. You need a dance partner. I get all that. So let's start with broad strokes here, okay? Is this team a buyer or are they a seller? Kenny, you said they're not going to win the cup this year, right? Okay, fine. So then what are you doing? Are you okay with being mediocre, or are you going to retool and move some assets that you have now that you can? Because you can't on one hand say, I'm going to save my prospects and my picks, and then on the other hand be like, well, nobody likes them because they're not good enough and they're ranked 24th out of 31 or whatever nonsense now the prospect pool's at. Like, that ain't good.
No, I get it. I'm willing to just what happened in the past can't be brought into this relationship with our new GM. Like, yeah, I get it. We didn't do this stuff for so long that it's like, all right, Lou's been here for 10 minutes. And why are you doing all this stuff? Like, dude, we can't do it all in 1 year. And I think that we need to figure out how much money we're going to give Pulak, Taves, and Barzal, because the numbers that we discussed through text, you guys are going to, you're not going to be able to get it all. Like, no, if you think you're going to pay all these guys so much money, then you're not going to be able to afford it.
My frustration is not the last 5, 6, 7 years of this team. It's not. My frustration is last year. You had a team that was overperforming, that had something special going on, and you did absolutely nothing.
Would you have traded Wahlstrom? Would you have traded Wahlstrom or Dobson at that time?
Dobson was the only one. Dobson was the only one, and I've probably said it on this podcast. Dobson is the only one out of all of our prospects who's untouchable. I move anybody
and
else.
And I bet you guys wingers like are a dime a dozen. GMs and scouts think the same thing, and the Islanders aren't willing to give up Dobson, so there you go. We don't have a dance partner.
Okay,
like, I feel like
you can still move assets. You can still move your number one. You can still move. You're telling me that number one pick doesn't have any clout in this league?
It does. It does. I feel like it does. But this past draft has been weak, dude. Just because the media hypes up Jack Hughes and Kapokako, they both kind of
suck. How do all these other teams make moves then? How do all these other teams make moves? Explain that one to me.
They do, but it seems to be the same ones over and over again somehow. It's like always Pittsburgh. It's always like Toronto or somebody, but it's just not the Islanders, man. It's never been, and there's 31 other teams. Hold on. Let me just ask you this. I should know this answer, but when's the expansion draft? Is it this upcoming season or next season?
I think it's next season.
Okay, so that's a whole nother thing also. Like, I feel like there's a time to be making moves, and if we didn't hit the home run with Panarin, and I guess the home run in Taylor Hall, and then you just don't do anything because none of these other guys are going to help you. And obviously everyone's still in it. Like, it's crazy. Like, we kind of discussed last podcast, the Islanders win like 15 games in a row. We don't even move up the standings. Like, that makes less trades because if everyone got a 3 points for a regulation win, there'd be teams that were out of it by November 1st. And then those are your trade partners. So that also is kind of like, there's so much parity in the league now. And we're in a division also that every team can make the playoffs except for one. It's, I don't know, man. There's a lot of different factors. I'm not saying that I'm not pissed that they didn't make a move, but I'm also trying to be realistic and just having faith that Lou Lamoriello isn't a bum that we think he is.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm not saying he's a bum. I'm saying, like, he's too cautious. Like, you can't – I said throughout all of last year,
dude,
even after he didn't make a move, I said, okay, I'm willing to give him a full year to evaluate this team, understand what he has, understand what he wants to get rid of, how he wants to mold this team. He hasn't done a thing.
But why would you? You had 100. Okay, hold on. That's what you're saying. We had 103 points last year. So how can you say that? Like, honestly, that was probably the worst thing to happen for him to evaluate this team because they overachieved.
Okay.
So, like, obviously, why would you
start getting? Not a thing. I mean, from a roster standpoint, not because.
But that roster got us 103 points minus Filppula and Broussard.
Okay, but what I'm saying is he
minus Leonard at Barlamov.
Right. He comes in. He adds Leo Komarov, he hits a home run with Leonard, and then squanders it the next year. Lets him go. Like, I don't know what. Like, I know, and we talked about it. Sorokin, all this stuff. Well, there's rumors that he wants to trade and all this stuff. So whatever. Okay, it's the Islanders. It is what it is. But he Filppula. He takes a flyer on that. Was a good move. Then he misses on Broussard. Like, he hasn't made his mark on this roster, and I don't know about you guys, but, like, reading between the lines, this can only go on for so long with Barry Trotz. Like, Barry is got to be pulling, he doesn't have any hair, but if he did, it'd be gone, because, like, how many ways can you move the same mediocre players around and reconfigure this? They're not good enough. You're missing half of a quality roster here. They can't be deployed properly because you don't have enough of something.
But would you rather him – okay, if you knew would it be acceptable if his strategy was to make that kind of move where it's a little risky? If the, like, cause at this point you guys would both agree that we'd be forcing something, right? Like we probably have to lose pretty bad on the prospect first round pick, whatever round pick front, right? Like at this point, it's not really a trader's market. We'd be pretty desperate to make a move, right? So if you knew that we were going to make a move at some point, I feel like the strategy would be to do it after you resign and know, okay, long term, this is what we can do. The cap's going up. There's an expansion draft. I don't think this is the time to make that move. And honestly, he's gotten a bad grade from me so far. I'm not saying he's gotten a good grade. The things you're saying make sense. Like the Brassard signing has been kind of shit. Like he sucks. Okay, he sucks. The game's too fast for him. It's just not working out. And I guess the Komarov thing, I don't know if I kind of like Komarov, but I could see where you're saying we're definitely overpaying him, but I'm going to give him another year. Until this point next year, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. If he doesn't start doing stuff from then on, then this is disaster.
Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm thinking like, Kenny, I don't think you're definitely not agreeing with Damon, but I also don't think you're disagreeing. I think you're just holding judgment. And I think that's fair. I don't necessarily agree or disagree with either of you. The thing is that this Islanders team has like two windows. You've got the window right now that's lasting a couple months before you've got to re-sign the core of your team, if we're being honest, in you know, your best forward, your best player in Barzal, and what, you know, your two defensemen of the future in Pulak and Taves. And then you've got to say that you've got a window that's going to come later that has ideally Sorokin in net and has Dobson, Pulak, Mayfield, Taves.
Such a cheap defense, too. Like, we're not paying them a lot of money.
Yeah, and, like, maybe probably Pelech. And then that's five defensemen, and maybe you're going to filter that with that in with Aho or a signing or whatever. That's a core.
Maybe Bodie Wild.
None of these guys have point production that demands $7 million contracts. None of these guys are going to make $7 million a year. Mark my words, they're all going to get re-signed for under $7 million. It's going to be shocking to you.
Wow, I don't agree.
You guys are awful.
I don't think that the D, like Pulak and Taves, I don't think are going to make $7 million.
And I bet you Barzal does too. In a 2-year deal, $7 million or $8 million.
If it's a short term,
yeah.
But
I think Barzy knows
he's got this franchise by the balls.
That's fine. He's earned it. He deserves it. He, this is the kid that you do this with. Tavares can't play this new NHL. It's too fast. Okay, Barzal is like the guy you give the money to because
it was nice seeing no JT at the All-Star game, wasn't it?
Yeah,
like, you're forgotten already, bro. Like, how's your team doing? How's team doing?
Anyway, guys, we're talking about this core. You've got Barzal. You've got Lee tied up for a little bit too long. You've got Everly tied up for probably a little bit too long. You've got Bailey on a really nice contract. You've got Nelson tied up on a really good contract. You've got Bo as an RFA who you're gonna re-sign as well. No, Bo's got one more year, right? And then you re-sign him.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then you've got a core, and then you've got Wahlstrom coming in. God knows what's going to happen with Hosang. You've got Bellows maybe. You've got Koivula maybe. And that's the window that's probably 3 to 5 years away. And all of these guys we're saying, except for the prospect I've had come in, are guys that are entering their primes then, when you look at Barzal and Pulak and Taves
and Bo.
And then guys that are going to be, you know, already, I don't want to say seasoned, but not in their, you know, not rookies in Sorokin and Bellows and Wahlstrom. And it looks like that's the window that these guys are shooting for, and it sucks to say.
That's good enough, though, Ben.
No, it's not. I'm telling you that that's what I'm telling you that that's what's happening.
But I feel like you got to remember, like a guy like Panarin caliber, if that even exists anymore, going forward the next few years for us to trade for, makes all those guys that are your support guys are now like the best support guys in the league because they don't need the weight of playing those first line, top line minutes. Everyone slots down, and we have the best supporting cast, honestly.
That's what, and I know I'm bouncing around here, but it is what it is. That's what I think when you look at the way this roster is constructed, it was all built around one giant piece that's not here anymore. And like it or not, whether it was good for the team, bad for the team, you've got, I think, above average supporting guys. I think you've got a killer second line. I think you've got two killer second lines, but you're missing that big piece. And this team was built around
first line.
Right. This team was built around JT. And when he left, you can see that it's just stretched out too thin now. And
as much as we hate him, if he was still here, we'd be a cup contender.
Maybe.
Definitely not maybe.
That's debatable. That's for another podcast. But I don't know. Just from a roster construction standpoint, if Matt Barzal is your second line center,
is your third line center.
Yeah, I mean that's. But well, but then I mean you play the hypothetical game
on power play. Think of how much better our power play would be with Tavares and Barzal.
So the point is like, you know, he's got to figure out, and if that means that you have to tear down part of what's built because it's built around something that's not there anymore. As the general manager, you have to see that and you have to do that. I don't care what it takes. Cause I'll tell you, the kiss of death in this sport, and you see it all the time, is a team that thinks mediocrity is acceptable and is okay. And they stay that way forever. You could name so many teams that are in that same exact spot, that they're always just kind of floating around there. It's the Flyers of the world. It's now the Islanders of the world. They go from being okay to crap to okay again. That's been the pattern lately. It's been on the up, so that's good. But like, we're part of that. The Minnesota Wild. Like, there's so many teams that like they don't have the guts to do what the Rangers did. And the Rangers said, look, this is going to suck, but we're burning down the forest and we're building new. And would you rather have their future or would you rather have ours right now? You know the answer. You don't have to say it because I wouldn't make you say it on a recorded podcast.
No, but I'm not sure because I think crazy. No. Here's the thing is that I think that if you're telling me that Lou is the same guy and we're not going to make any moves, then I'll pick the Rangers. But I think that the Islanders are still a move away because we've talked about how, you know, we were just talking about how we were Panarin away from having two second lines become one first line. And then you have one of your six really good second liners play on the third line. And all of a sudden you go from having a non-existent third line to a somewhere between decent and above average third line. And you've got that fourth line that is the untouchables, the defensive core that you have, and then you're a cup contender. Mm-hmm. No ifs, buts, and maybes about it. With Panarin on this team, they're a cup contender and maybe even one of the favorites. And I don't think I'm stretching.
No, I agree with you because it makes your prospect pool better too. And I'll explain how that works.
Dude, they Lou brought playing, in Phil Pula too. I mean,
yeah, well, you know, but like Ben's point. Okay, so you bring in a top six player like that. You drop somebody down that really could be in the top six. Now you start bringing in these call-ups like Wahlstrom or Koivula, and now they're playing with bona fide NHL players, and they pick up the game faster. They start scoring. Maybe they stick around. Maybe they get confident. We didn't have that. We put our prospects in a position to basically fail every single one that was brought up because they were put in the black hole that is the Islanders' third line. So I agree with you. But, Ben, if you're a GM and you've been a GM in this league for three decades, I don't know how long Lou's been in the business, but say 30 years or so, right? Whatever. You would know, would you not, if you could legitimately add top six talent. Like, you'd have a pretty good idea of the lay of the land. You've made your calls. You know if you're going to be able to get something or not. Right? Am I crazy?
No, but Damon, that's the thing, is that I think his idea was,
I think I can get Panarin. And people were talking about what's his plan B. His plan B was waiting for the next window, which is going to happen in 3 to 5 years when you know what Barzal and Toews and Pulak are getting paid. Okay. But, and you know what Dobson and Sorokin and Wallstrom have become.
You're saying that our leader miscalculates things and doesn't know when someone's going to sign, like say John Tavares or say Artemi Panarin or say Robin Lehner, right?
Dude, Lehner is obviously not all there. Let's be honest. I don't care what anyone says. You see the stuff he's saying now? Okay, his recent statement is, I'm not taking any less money, I'm getting a raise. Okay, buddy. Relax yourself
numbers.
Over there.
I disagree. Dude, I disagree.
He's definitely a better goalie than Varlamov, for sure. He's definitely a better goalie, but I don't think we heard the whole story. Like, that whole story, you heard 10 different things, and none of it made any sense. Like, what? He's all for 2 years.
If that was the only one, I'd agree with you, but that's not the only one. He's miscalculated. You and I knew before we started this show, before we met Ben, we knew that the Isles were going to get used by Panarin to get more money from the Rangers. Mm-hmm. So you can't tell me that he didn't know that. And if he didn't know that, he shouldn't be managing the team.
But what would you want him to not do? Not even be in it at all?
You need to try. But you need to have a legit plan B, not a, oh, well,
I don't think there is a plan B. There isn't a plan B. There wasn't two Panarins out there. That's what made him so.
They got to make some trades.
Hold on. So what you're telling me, let me just ask you this. Be honest with me. Mm-hmm. Life on the line. If you're wrong, you're dead. Okay. Sure. If Lou Lamoriello was the GM of the New York Rangers and we have the GM of the Rangers, whoever that is, Glenn Sather, who technically probably still is, it's not really technically that guy because whatever, you can think what you want. Glenn makes the decisions there.
The brain in a jar somewhere under Madison Square Garden.
Dude, he's like the hockey's a president. Okay, just because he's not the GM, he's still the president.
Dude,
whatever. Gorton, whatever the hell his name is, okay? You're telling me that Gorton would have gotten it done for the Islanders and Lou would have dropped the ball with the Rangers?
No,
it's not about what, it's no, about where they're playing. It's like, dude, if the Islanders are in New York City, then come on.
No, okay. Business standpoint, okay? I'm in sales. This is what I do. You know what your competition has. You know what your competition does better. You still make the sales pitch, but you know, okay, the odds of me getting this account are slim to none, so I'm going to backlog with these other 5 accounts, and I'm going to go hard after them. And you know what? I might not have the AAA guy, but I'm going to have 5 AA's, and you know what? I'm going to have a pretty solid book of business.
Who was the other guy, though?
That's for him to figure out. He's the general manager.
That's my point.
Oh, excuse me, sirs, both of you? What? Tell me. That's public information, so I want to hear the UFAs that were available.
If it's as easy as just saying, oh, well, throw my hands up, I'm done, I'm not going to do anything,
well,
can I be GM?
I don't think
I can do nothing and get paid, too.
Making it. But tell me the list. There's a public list. Tell me the UFAs that were available that year that would have made this difference that you're talking about that we're going to overpay
There are a number of ways to make your team better. It is not just free agency. And
I've been saying
for how long that the Islanders don't get free agents, so don't get excited about it. Have I not been that guy? Because they don't. They don't get free agents. You have to acquire them through trades.
When you force it that both you guys want to do, you know what happens when that happens? You get another Andrew Ladd. So everyone should be thankful we didn't just go out and do something after we didn't get Panarin. Because if you guys are talking about a sample size of 100% of last season and let's say 50% of this season, how have the Islanders played since Lou Lamoriello has been here? Overachieved, yes, right?
I would say good, not great,
but better than we had any time previous.
Sure, but you're still not even sniffing past the second round.
But that gets back to the expectations.
Okay,
we've gone full circle.
How many moves has Lamoriello made? If you want to say that he missed with Broussard, he hit a home run with Filppula, and that was just a weird circumstance that Filppula wants to retire. That's just a weird thing, you know, like. What are you going to do? You think Lamoriello sucks because he couldn't convince Filppula to stay here with the career he had in Detroit? Like, that's not on him.
No. He thinks Lou sucks because he didn't have a good plan B after Panarin. What I'm saying is it's not up to him. No, but Damon, you were talking about how Lamoriello didn't have a legitimate plan B.
Now, what I'm saying is that his legit plan B was, we're going to wait till next time. Now, you can disagree with that. I disagree with that. I'm horrified by that. But what I'm saying is that that was his legit plan B, in my opinion, of course. I think that's what he wanted. He was going to go, I'm going to hit a home run, or I'm going to balk. And he was just okay with those options.
I don't think there's any other options. You guys are acting like he had other options. I feel like you either add Panarin or
don't. Because we pissed away our best player getting paid peanuts. So
you guys are mad. Hold on. You can only be mad if you can show me that there's another Panarin that was out there that we just passed on. Like, you can't just base it on him missing. There's 31 other teams. You want to say that the Islanders and Rangers were down to it? Sure. Okay, we lost to the Rangers in the bidding war. But you can't be mad at there just not being other options. There's one Panarin.
So you can't. So as a general manager, just so I understand this, as a general manager, you've got the one guy that you can sign. If you can't sign him, you can try to trade. But if you're the GM of the Islanders, trading is hard, wants to trade, and your prospects are bad, and so you really can't do anything. So why can't anybody be that?
You could
just have have a computer do it.
You could paint it like that, but also you can go like this. Okay, all right, we're gonna off season 103 point season, guys. If we're gonna improve this team, we're gonna improve it with a quality piece that we know is worth every penny. It's gonna be Panarin, and we're not gonna do 1BC because look, this is just it's gonna turn into an Andrew Ladd situation. So you know what? We're gonna sit pat because you know what? We had 103 points last year with this group, so I don't think we need to break the bank and do anything crazy because we'll probably make the playoffs again. We'll re-sign our players, and then we'll know. Okay, this is where we move forward. You guys telling me you would have been happy with signing – you still haven't even named me one other player besides Panarin, but that you would have been happy with signing for 7 years and overpaying him because that's what's going to have to happen here. You agree, right?
Taylor Hall
was not – you can't – like a UFA, I feel like I have a more of an argument as to why we maybe didn't sign him. A trade partner, I mean, it's as simple as the New Jersey Devils looking at – who we say is available, and them going, no, we don't want those prospects. Like, it's not that Lou sucks because he didn't do that. Plus, it's the division rival. The Devils are not going to trade with the Islanders. They didn't trade with anyone in the – if Pittsburgh would have got it, then okay.
Well,
okay.
I named one part that I thought would help that, which was Brian Boyle. But, I mean, he was a UFA.
That was a miss. That you can get mad at. That's I agree with 100% because that would have made – Cizikas be your third line center, which is what I want, and I think we all agree is better. But
I mean, you had Marcus Johansson was out there. Who else was out there? That was a name that could have helped.
It's a B name, but Dezingle.
Yeah, exactly. Ryan Dezingle was another one.
We're talking about
guys that are
another
going to
guy
be quality. Third liners. This all goes back to what I kept saying about how you either have
Dezingle's
to
the center.
You're going to create your third line one of two ways, or three ways. You're going to promote your prospects from within. That ain't working. You're going to acquire somebody up top in your top six and push them down and just have a third line by default. Well, that didn't happen. Or you're going to go out there and acquire a third line. That didn't happen. So you can't tell me that. There's only – he missed on UFA, so we can't do anything else. This team has a fundamental issue. There is a giant gap in this lineup. You mean to tell me that there's no possible way he could figure that out?
I agree that there is a gap in the lineup. I'm just not ready to say that Lou Lamoriello is a failure. Like, you guys are – listen, remember it, because next year when he makes a big – are you saying anything
positive? All I said was the reason why they're in the spot they're in right now. This is what started this whole thing, right? We were saying, what's the reason why we think the Islanders are in the situation they're in? I said it was the GM.
Yeah.
I didn't say it because the GM's
a piece
of shit.
It wasn't like passing. Like, it wasn't like in passing you mentioned that he may have messed up. Like, you guys are acting like, in my opinion, that this guy's a trash. Like, that he failed. Like,
no, but I just – aren't you sick of being mediocre?
Yes, okay, so I am, but
time,
I'm not.
Every time you miss on a UFA, you're just going to, like, punt till next season? Like,
we
that's
missed
it?
One time
done?
Since he's been here. We missed one time. Like, listen, I can't, like
– Twice, technically. I mean, if you think about it, twice. We lost the big free agent twice. one was in our... Which,
Tavares is, like, the most untypical dick move, and we all can agree that that was, like, nothing you could have done. What are we going to do? Change
where... I mean, you just said the last year and a half, so I'm judging based on what's happened. Mm. That's all I can do.
Hold on. You're really blaming that we didn't get Tavares on Lou?
I'm just naming facts. There were two big free agents the last 2 years that Lou Lamoriello was the GM of the Islanders. One was John Tavares, one was Artemi Panarin.
In a year, like, this guy could pull out a trade, and I just can't wait to just remember this moment. I know you want it to happen too, but
I do
think it's going to happen, and I think it will.
Of course I do. If he sits here and he doesn't do anything for 2 years, that's 2 years of floating down the
river. But what happens if he signs Pulak, Barzal, and Tapes to amazing contracts, but doesn't make a big splash for you guys?
Well,
like,
then we'll be in the same. Well, honestly, we will be in the same situation we are. Good, but not great.
No, Damon, that's a bit harsh, though. Because then you're looking – I mean, if you're looking at a Barzal at $8 million, Pulak at $6 million, and Taves at $5 million
– I'm sorry. Does their salary make them better players, or are they just what they
are?
No,
their salary means you have the room to do more. Because if their salary does that, then that 3 to 5 year window that I was talking about later becomes what Kenny's talking about, which is, okay, now we've signed our players, and now we can do whatever the fuck we want. And then hypothetically, Lou's a different guy. Hypothetically, or what we should expect of a general manager is now our roster is set. We have this Barzal contract, hopefully for on max term. We have these Taves and Pulak contracts, hopefully on max term. There's no excuse. And then you can get mad at him.
And that's what he controls the most. Like, what he controls the most is the guys he has and how much we re-sign them for and the development of the prospects. All the other stuff is bonus. That's overtime. That's not the regular job, dude. Like, you can't just make big trades happen because every other podcast is saying the same exact thing we are. Why didn't our team make a trade for this one guy? There's 31 teams. There's 31 GMs. If they don't like your prospect pool, they're not even picking up the phone. If they don't like the way you gave them an attitude at the last GM meeting, they're not even calling you. This is humans. This is not like black and white computers, like, why didn't we make this deal? We suck. Like, I just don't – I'll be speaking a different tune in a year.
No, let's table. Until we'll table it until the deadline, and we'll talk about rumors and shit. We'll table it until the deadline, and then after the deadline, we'll table it. We'll obviously give our assessment, and then we'll table it to see what he does in free agency. And because it's not like he's going to get fired.
No, he's not.
If he resigns,
don't hold your breath.
I'm not
nothing
holding my
happening.
Breath. What I'm saying
nothing
is
happening.
He's going to have we're going to have an assessment on him that I'm sure your opinion is, Damon, is going to be even more severe. If/when nothing happens before the deadline, and
mine will as well. Like, the longer he doesn't do something, the more I'm going to be like, I don't know about this, but I'm not judging him just yet.
Exactly. And then of course, also because as Kenny said, and I'm sure we can all agree on, like, one of the most important things that Lou does will be those three re-signings in the summer, as well as bringing Sorokin over, which will be huge.
He fails on any of those.
Oh yeah,
any of those. But you can't get three out of four. You gotta go. You gotta run the table. If you don't do anything else, you better run the table with what you have.
That's what he controls, right? I'm agreeing. There's no listen. You can't judge a GM based on not getting trades or not getting this one guy in free agency. That's just like bonus, okay? If he can bring Sorokin here and bring back Barzal, Taze and Pulak, all on fair deals. I don't care if he doesn't make a big trade. It is what it is, dude. Like, some of these prospects got to step up. And if they're not stepping up, you don't think that other teams would realize that? No one's going, oh, damn, Wallstrom's going to be sick. Like, dude, we've seen the sample size. Probably not going to be sick. He's probably going to be okay.
I don't think you can judge any of those kids with Brent Thompson as their coach, but that's for another day.
For sure.
That's another whole thing to get into. But
when's his contract? Does anyone know?
I thought he was gone when they cleaned house. I cannot believe that he stayed. I mean, we just don't develop forwards. We develop good defensemen down there, but
yeah,
you know, we don't develop forwards at all. And I don't know what the deal is there.
We haven't been drafting like top five in a long time though. That's kind of why I feel like, you know, maybe the
process. Yeah, I mean, sure, sure. You know? But again, know where you're at, know what you are. I'll leave the discussion at this for me anyway. If Lou truly believes that this team is not good enough to make a run, then you have to start jettisoning things and changing that now. You can't wait. You can't wait. Because all that's going to change over time is these guys get older and they get more expensive.
So who do you move? Bryce? Bailey?
You can't move Bryce because you guys, ever since you said that, I mean, he's the only, like Varlamov.
Win the cup, you don't need two amazing goaltenders.
You do, I think, because we don't have an amazing goaltender. We have an amazing, like, two amazing backups.
Just win the cup, does it matter, though?
I just don't think we're winning the cup with either one of these guys.
I know, but what I'm saying is that if you're not going to win the cup, does it really matter if we trade Bryce, for example?
I don't think you can.
You know, an average backup plus a second round pick.
It all depends on where they're at and what he believes. If they're middle of the pack, 1 or 2 points above the wild card spot, getting to the deadline,
I'm selling.
I would rather see them be sellers than buyers. I really, really would.
Can't be in the playoff spot and start moving guys, even though it's the right thing to do. We know that, but you can't do that. They have to be like,
and again, there's some teams that have the guts to do it and actually do a rebuild, and there's other teams that are paralyzed by fear and they stay mediocre forever. Just make a choice of what you want to be and let's call it a day.
I don't see any team that would ever do that. Like, there's no team that's in a playoff position that moves guys. I think that we'll all agree that this is the biggest offseason for Lou. Like, if he doesn't do the things he does between now and the next trade deadline, which I don't even think now starts until the offseason because no one's making moves right now, like seems to be, I think that till trade deadline, a week before the trade deadline, and until this time next year, All-Star break, this is when he has to kind of either, like we said, go 4 for 4 with the re-signings and bringing Sorokin in, or if he misses on one of those, then he's got to bring someone in.
But even just doing that, the team is still the same. Like, now you still have to add pieces to that.
But that's very important. Would you agree that the Islanders, if you were looking at a list of teams that are one – all right, we agree we're one piece away, right? I still think that there's a skill in retaining us being one piece away with all the things that we have.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I think the players believe that, which is why so many of them stuck around. I definitely believe that.
But that's why I'm saying he's good. Just because you don't bring in a – like, there's a skill in keeping everything, like, so we are available to even make the move we want to make. Because he can mess this up, and he hasn't messed it up. He's done well. His re-signings this last year have been great. Yeah, Lee is slight overpayment, but everyone else, we agreed he killed it, right?
Well, Eberle, I don't know what's going on.
These guys need like that one piece. They're not bad hockey players. None of them are a bust. They're just.
I'm with Rodney there. Also, for context, Thompson has this year and next. All left on his contract. Signed a 7-year deal.
They'll miss the playoffs and they'll fire his ass.
Yeah, they'll probably buy him out after this year.
I'm done. I'm over it. He'll find a job somewhere else. It's fine. But just I'm done with you and my organization. It's not working. Look, I prefaced it by opening the can of beer at the start of this podcast.
I just finished.
It was dark. And this is why, honestly speaking, we didn't record last week. And I told Ben this. I said, Ben, if we record last week, I'm going to, like, lose it. This is me calm. This is me calm. Okay?
I, to sort of switch, because I think that we've sort of beat the horse of the general manager, and we talked about sort of tabling it to the next sort of deadlines, I guess. But I think this would be a good time, if it's okay with you guys, to sort of transition into, you know, how things can potentially improve, because we, you know, there have been reasons to get down, but at least if I'm thinking about it, I think one of the huge reasons that was my original reason why the Islanders are in this rut is that they've been exhausted, and their idea of playing, of rolling four lines hasn't worked because of the injuries. So they've been rolling three lines forward for forward wise, and they've been rolling five defensemen. And one of them is 49 years old. And now you've got a 10-day break. I would bet that at least some of that has to do with tiredness after, what was it, 7 games in 11 days? I mean, that's ridiculous.
It's definitely fatiguing, for sure.
That, and I mean, when you're not – when you have injuries and then you're tired, you're playing 7 games in 11 days, and the last game they played, they had 3 forwards under 7 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and Dobson was under 9 minutes. Like, you can't play hockey like that.
Right. Let me ask you guys a question. I know how I feel about this, but I'm curious what you think. I know that the rookies, when they called up Bargeron, when they called up Wahlstrom, when they called up Koivula, like, I know those rookies didn't set the world on fire, but don't you think that there's a slight correlation with the fact that when they stopped calling them up and they started just playing the regular grunts that we have, and I say that in the nicest way possible, but the Komarovs, the Kunakles, the Dalcoles of the world, the competition kind of went away and this team kind of lost some fire. Like, wouldn't you like to see them call up some of these guys again and, like, reignite that competition and, you know, try to have everybody pushing each other? Because, like, right now it's like, I feel like there's no push.
It's from completely within. And it's not their fault. I mean, and it again, I really don't want to go back into the black hole that is the Lou Lamoriello conversation, but whatever your opinions are, the fact that no moves are made is how complacency works. There's no one's position is in jeopardy. And it's the fault of Lamoriello for not bringing in guys, but it's also on roster moves, as you said, because what incentive, aside from not being a stupid shit, does Michael Dalcol have to get that extra edge on the next guy?
Right. No, exactly. And I brought this up because you said, how do we improve it, right? So yeah. this is my idea. Like, okay, if we can't trade, we can't do all that stuff. Well, we were winning when we had the young kids playing. So maybe do that again.
I agree. And I
get that you don't want to waste a year of their contract if you are. That's one of the things that made me believe that they're waiting for the future, is that you are trying so hard not to give Wahlstrom that 10th game. And
expansion. So that's maybe the reason why, you know, because we did have, you know, those guys that we mentioned, like, they all showed something. Like, I don't think they stunk. I feel like we're just, like, if this was 8 years ago, they'd all be sticking, you know, like, this is just different. Like, we're, like, kind of having that over-marinate mentality. I don't think anyone's really killed it, but you definitely could see these guys all, like, I wouldn't have a problem playing Koivula on the fourth line center just rest of the season. Like, just, it is what it is. Like,
yeah.
I don't think he sucks. I think he'll just only get better. And he plays the body, he hustles, so.
Or Bellows, I mean, Bellows lit it up, he was on fire, like, why not reward that? Like, I know he hasn't been great, like, the body of work in the AHL hasn't been great, but something obviously clicked. He's on fire. We needed goal scoring. Like, why not? Like, is he?
Yeah.
I know it's not like it's not the reason why they were winning games, but it's just like, hockey's all about intangibles. It's about a million little things that come together and coalesce into what you call your hockey team. And that's just how it works. So if there's complacency happening, to me, that's the easiest solution to try to make a change. I mean, you're not getting anything out of your third line anyway, so what do you have to lose?
How about this as a name, as a solution for your third line center, if you want to leave Casey there? Alex Galchenyuk, 26 years old, underperforming this year, so he's not going to get, like, a huge, you know, re-signing, but would you take a guy like that next year if you want Lou to make a move? This is his option, guys. This is his options, guys, so.
His
cap hit right now is 4.9.
Ew.
Yeah, no. I mean,
you wouldn't bring him in for $5 million.
I mean, I would try if that's gonna be if you're gonna build from, if you're going to bring in guys to be the third liners, fine. Like, if that's the option, like, that's not a bad one to explore, but I wouldn't pay him five.
I think you don't think that his bottom would be, his basement would be a third line center with a potential to even, like, maybe find his game under Trotz and be a first line winger?
And he might. He might, yeah, he might. I mean, I know there's a lot of potential there, and I know that he's still young, so.
So I just gave you the best option other than Taylor Hall not resigning in Arizona and then us not resigning him in the offseason. There's really not a lot of options when you talk about, like, bringing in a guy. Like, that's
again,
what I'm
you're
saying.
Only like, looking at it from a free agent standpoint.
I know, but if you want to get it, you can't bring up Panarin anymore then. I just don't want to hear about it. Like, there
right.
wasn't five.
Pedro in the summer. Fuck, he would be such a good third liner.
I don't think so. Like, I don't think that's the guy's been playing in a team that misses the playoffs by April 15th. I mean, October 15th.
Plus 20.
It's so easy to play hockey like that, dude. The guy's never, like, I don't see him. You really, when you turn on the TV, he's the guy that you're like, damn, this guy's nasty. No, he'd be another bum on our TV, another guy getting paid $5 million in 2 years that you're like, why the hell did we do this? That's exactly what would happen. Like, he's not the guy.
Then all right, then call up the kids and let them grow now.
I'm okay with that. But also
do something. That's all I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Do something. Do something.
It ain't happening.
Make the third line the rookie line and just let them learn. And you're going to play 7 minutes anyway, so who cares?
Ready?
Mike Hoffman. You're going to play Kunal Johnson.
I've been saying Mike Hoffman for a while. Sorry.
Mike Hoffman. You want to – yeah, that's a guy. Okay.
If you're going to play Kunal and Johnston and – whoever the fuck played with them the last couple nights, 7 minutes a night, then tell me what's different about playing a line of, I don't know, Bellows, Koivula, and Wahlstrom. Or if you don't want to give Wahlstrom that 10th game, even Hosang, show him you believe in him. Give him a reason to believe in you. Seven minutes a night.
That was a poster.
And then these guys show some promise, and then you intertwine them with the second line, and you all of a sudden you have a line that looks like, I don't know, Koivula, Eberle, Beauvillier, and you've got like Bellows, Nelson, Hosang, and you're looking at some exciting names that can mm-hmm. can develop into something.
Sprinkle some of those guys in the lineup. I mean,
give them an opportunity.
I will say this: it's a lot easier to podcast when the team is losing than winning, isn't it?
Yeah, I was just gonna say, like, this has been my favorite to do, and it's a little bit shameless that it, you know, mm-hmm. the worst the team is doing is, you know, the best the podcast is doing.
I know, it's funny. Look, what do you? We're kind of running long here, so do you guys have any closing thoughts, ideas? You want to call me an idiot? You can. You want to call me a genius? You can. It's really.
I just think that they're gonna come out of the break and do well. I'm looking at the schedule, I think we've got Dallas in a matinee on Saturday. No, Vancouver in a matinee on Saturday. Yeah. Then you've got Dallas and L.A. at home. And then Tampa away. Give me and then Tampa's already the next Saturday. Give me 6 points. I'm going to put it down. You know what? I'm only getting 6 points from those four games. I'll tell you that right now. And whether it's 3 wins and a loss, 2 wins, 2 overtime losses, I would take that.
And, so, and you started the podcast singing about the day the season died.
Well, that's the thing I wanted to clarify, is that I made that song, but I don't believe it.
Well, that was my question. My question was going to be, do you think the season's over, and do you think that this team does not make the playoffs?
No, the team is totally making the playoffs. This is going to sound like it, that's bait. I think of it because it's just like a great line, but this team is making the playoffs, and it may even be a bad thing because they might just lose to Pittsburgh in the first round away, which is probably what most people would put their money on right now, if they had to.
Yeah.
You know, maybe like, In six or seven, or I mean, it would be a great. It's going to be a great series, and that's almost definitely going to be the series. Maybe.
No,
but I don't see them dropping off. I think that they're obviously not going to be as good as they were before. I think they'll be like a little bit better than 500 for the rest of the year. The rest of the Metro is also going to even out. Like, you just don't have a division that's going to have 500-point teams. It's just not how it works.
Right. All right, Kenny. What about you? You think they make the playoffs?
I think they make the playoffs, yeah. Definitely. They're just better than, like, Philadelphia, Buffalo, Columbus, I think will fall off a little bit. Montreal, Rangers. They're a wild card team.
That's exactly what I think. At best, I think they're a wild card team. I think they've got just as good of a chance to miss the playoffs than they do to make the playoffs.
Wow.
I really do.
I'm seeing
things, and I've been seeing trends that I have not liked all year, and they're finally starting to break through. And the last thing this team needs is a damaged psyche, and that's exactly what they have right now, and they're starting to play that way.
I'm telling you, don't.
You know what? At the same time, best time for this break then.
But yeah, no, absolutely. I hope to God I'm wrong. Maybe this is the pessimist in me. Maybe this is the damaged, broken Islander fan that I am. But I want nothing more. I mean, last season was one of the most amazing seasons to be an Islander fan. I didn't care that they got swept. I was so proud of that team and what they did. And
This is the time to struggle right before a huge break. They're playing hockey. They're playing hockey right now. Like the league's bad. I don't know how the Islanders don't play for a week. Such a dumb thing. But hey, these guys are resting up. They're healing up. You know, we'll see what happens.
Islanders are going to beat the crazy overachieving Vancouver Canucks on the first day of February, and they're going to be back on track. They're not going to go and win the Stanley Cup. They're not going to finish ahead of the Capitals. They're probably not going to finish ahead of Pittsburgh either. But don't discount the fatigue that comes in with playing guys like Barzal and Nelson, both 22 minutes plus a night, Pulak and Letty 25 minutes a night. They were never that team. That's not what got them to do well last year. And if you're talking about the identity change to come full circle, that's the identity change, is that people are playing less, people are playing more, people are, you know, thinking offense first. That's why I think Barzal was set. Barzal's line has been disgusting in their own zone for the last 2-3 weeks, comfortably. Disgusting. And that's why I would have sat Barzal. I don't know if that's the reason. But there's an identity change, and if the identity change gets back on track, then you can look at the same kind of uplift that the Isles had last year at this time. I don't see it happening, but it's possible. Or you could see the opposite. If you can't find the identity, then the Islanders could miss the playoffs, like you're saying, Damon. It's all about that. And that's why I think I was beating the Cal Clutterbuck drum as much as I was earlier in the season, is because he's at the center of it. Maybe not the center of it, but he's, you know, a third of the identity line, so to speak, and it's called that for a reason. You look at Clutterbuck, Pelech, you're not going to get back, but hopefully Clutterbuck you will soon, and you'll hopefully just bring in someone who can play on the third line, and then you can finally have those four lines that are somewhat rolling and try to get back what you had, because that worked, and this isn't.
Well, I don't think you can roll four lines when you only have three.
Well, that's the issue that Trotz has, and that's why he's the coach.
Yep. Well, we'll see what happens. I hope to God I'm wrong, and I know that it's easy to be down on the team when they're playing like this, but I don't know. I got these teams are all surging. They're gonna be fighting for their life the entire rest of the season, and that's such a crappy way to go into the playoffs. Well, yeah, you're battle-hardened, but you're also exhausted. And I don't know. It's such a different feel versus last year. And it's funny because the points are, like, the same, but it feels so different. Like, last year, like, they were, like, a point or two away from Washington the whole way. They were, like, fighting. They were in first for a while. Like, they're nowhere near the Caps this year.
The Caps have been crazy though.
It's true, but it also takes, I think it's tough when you're that far behind. Like, when you're running and you got a guy next to you, run a little faster. That's just the way it's human nature. Like, they don't have that. So I hope I'm wrong. I hope Lou does some things. I hope that they figure it out. I hope that Barzal gets more responsible in his own zone and stops turning over the puck. I hope a lot of these things happen, but we'll see. That's why they play the game. So February, what is it? It's the 1st, I think, right? February 1st? is when they play, is it their next game back? February 1st, matinee, Vancouver Canucks. It's going to be nice seeing hockey again. I miss it. God, it's been gone. It's like, got to wait another whole week. Awful. Awful. But, well, guys, thank you for, Kenny, do you still love me? That's my last
question. I do. Oh, absolutely, dude. Okay. Yeah, for sure, dude.
Good. I'm glad. Valentine's Day's coming up, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Sure. I'll send you something nice.
But... All right. Nice. All right, guys. Well, listen, we appreciate you sticking around with us and listening at the ravings of three lunatics, one probably more lunatic than the other two, at least this episode. hit us up on Twitter. Ben is at @LISound_. I'm at KaijuBlue13. Find us on Facebook at the Long Island Sound Podcast. We are on SoundCloud. We are on Spotify. We are on iTunes. We are on Anchor FM. All the good stuff. For Ben and Kenny and Lou Lamoriello, I'm Damon Vetteri. Later.